Charlie comes up here this morning.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good to have all y'all here this beautiful Sunday morning. Those viewing through Facebook, we welcome you as well. I'm excited here this morning. I know the Lord has given me a word that's for each and every one of y'all, whether you find yourself new to the church, whether you've been here for a short season, or whether you've been here with us for many years. I believe the topic we're going to cover today covers each and every one of our lives. Amen. So I would pray that we all focus, those viewing through Facebook, that you would settle down, get your position there within your house to hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Just want to share, yesterday we had a powerful time there with the married couples there. Amen. I want to thank Brother Ron and Sister Michelle. It was a real powerful time that we had there at the house with the married couples and everything. We just had a blast. It was really, really a good thing for all of us. And so I'm real grateful for that and all that the Lord is doing right now. This day, the title of the message is The Test, Pass or Fail. Amen. The title of this morning's message is The Test, Pass or Fail. I came about this message, I was counseling this week. I was counseling a sister from the church, and as she was giving me her many problems, amen, and I was listening to them, and then I started ministering. The problem she gave me according to God's word. And before you knew it, I knew I had a Sunday morning message. Her many problems, because I've been doing this for 23 years now, her problems is the message of truth here this day. And the only way I was able to turn it in to a message of truth, even though it was her problems, the devil was lying to her, however you want to put it. Amen. Nevertheless, I was able to discern and to know that it was for Sunday's message. I was also able to discern to turn it to a message of truth, because her problems, I have already passed the test in everything she shared with me that were problems to her. I had the answers to them. They weren't problems to me. At one time they were. So it's very important that the problems that we face are temporary. They're not forever problems. Amen. That what you're going through right now it's not going to last forever. That's not biblically true. Amen. Nothing stays the same, the Bible says. There's only one person that stays the same, and that is the Lord. Amen? Amen? All of us are going to go through changes, whether the changes take us forward, whether those changes take us back or get us stuck for a season in the same place. We all continue to change for the better, for the worse. Amen? The situation you're in right now, even if you're doing good, is not going to stay the same. Because God wants to increase your capacity in who you are. Even for the ones that are doing good, you're not going to remain in the place you're at right now, because God is in the business of stretching men, women, young adults. So nothing stays the same. Whatever you're going through right now, it's not going to remain. The devil would allow you to want you to think that it's going to stay the same. He would want to lie to you to say that it's never going to change. This is just life. This is just the way it is. You know, I'm just never going to change. What's the use? And we give up on Jesus changing our lives. So here this day, once again, the title is The Test, Pass or Fail. And we're all going to take this test. And this test is from the Lord. Pass or fail. Amen? As we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, real powerful portion of scripture. This is Paul and young Timothy, amen? And here Paul says in the opening verse, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. Not some comfort, not Southern comfort, but the source of all comfort. No matter what you're going through here this day, the Lord wants to bring comfort to it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you glory. Give you honor. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, Father God, to be able to hear your word, to be comforted by you, Lord, knowing that your word tells us here this day that you are the source of all comfort. Speak through me here this day, Holy Spirit. Have your way within the lives of your people. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. I'm going to be speaking about problems here this day. How many has problems here this day? Wow. How many only has one problem here this day? I think we got to add an S to it and make it plural, amen. If we're honest with ourselves, there's a lot of problems still pending within our lives that we wish could be different, changed already. But nevertheless, we find ourselves here Sunday morning in the church house with an opening scripture that says that our Heavenly Father, merciful as it is, He is the source of all comfort. In other words, whatever you're going through that I may not even understand, is one of the number one things when I counsel, you just won't understand, Pastor, what I'm going through. It's not worth sharing to you. You don't understand. And it might be true. It might be true. But I know one person which the Bible and opening scripture says is the source of all comfort. There's nothing that you're facing, that you're going through right now, that he can't bring comfort to. Addiction is able to bring comfort like a Band-Aid for a season. Alcohol, the opposite sex, money, all those things the world offers to give temporary comfort. But when you try to comfort your life within the ways of the world, it works for a season, but it just becomes worse. And what the enemy uses to comfort your life makes your situation, what you were tripping on, the problems that you were having are now multiplied because you tried to comfort yourself by the ways of the world. And it worked. It worked. Ooh, that's all I need. Ooh, that's, oh, that feels so good. That's all I needed. To end up in bondage, to end up brokenhearted, lost and bound. So here this day, we're going to hear about the merciful love of our Heavenly Father that is the source of all comfort. In other words, he's got an answer for you here this day. If you're listening, if you want them problems to come to an end one by one, it's in the message here today. So we're going to back up a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to go from 3 all the way to 11. This is not only Paul speaking, amen, the great man of God, but he asked Timothy, as you look at verse 1 in your Bible there, he addresses himself in the beginning there along. He's with young Timothy. So this is for the young adults also here this day. Because Timothy, young Timothy, was a disciple of Paul. He was the disciple of Paul. What Paul did, he did. Paul had the victory. Young Timothy had the victory. So I believe Timothy is speaking here also along with Paul. And he's a witness standing by Paul. Paul might be doing all the speaking right now, all the writing, but I believe young Timothy was his proof without having to say nothing. Young Timothy was his proof and was able to confirm, amen, maybe not through his words, but through his actions, the following Paul, that our Heavenly Father was the source of all comfort. Let's read. The Bible reads, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. Verse 4, key verse. He comforts us in all our troubles. He's not just comforts us in every way, but even in all of our troubles. Even if you have a rated R problem here this day, a rated XXX problem here this day. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. The work's first got to be done in us for us to do it unto others. Amen? When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Same comfort that was given to Paul and young Timothy. They had it, so they were able to give it. For the more we suffer, Paul writing, how many have been suffering a little bit more lately? It's a good thing. It's biblical. You're trying to get your life in order, straight, trying to figure things out, and at times things can get worse. Troubles can multiply. But we're going to see trouble by the end of this service as a good thing. If you allow the Lord to be the source of your life, the foundation of your life. It says, for the more we suffer for Christ, not for the world, but there were, so we will suffer for Christ, amen? I ain't going to preach a message, as long as you're saved, everything goes great. That's not biblical. It's not truth. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we were weighed down with troubles, this is for them being in obedience, answering the call of God. It is for your comfort and salvation, for when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. We think you ought to know. I think you guys ought to know that your problems, the trials, and the things that you're going through right now can be turned for the good. Can be used by God to transform your life. So Paul was here not only thinking about his life and young Timothy's life, but he was thinking for those that had many problems without Christ within their life, had many types of comforts that had nothing to do with the comfort, the all comfort that's able to comfort everybody, all troubles, all problems. So Paul goes on to say, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. How many ever expected to die? Amen? It happened to me over and over and over and over, and I did, but God kept bringing me back. Amen? In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, tell your neighbor, but as a result. Tell your neighbor, let your problems change your life. Tell your neighbor, let your problems put your focus on Jesus. In fact, Paul says, we expected to die, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God, who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger. And he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. And you are helping us by praying for us, then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. I got an opening point here this day. Remember, the title is The Test, Pass or Fail. The opening point I have here this day, remember, this was all given to me while I was counseling somebody. And the point is, anytime God puts you in a test, it's to bring the best out of you. Anytime God puts you in a test, it's to bring the best out of you. But on the flip side of that coin, anytime we fail the test, it allows the enemy to bring the worst out of us. Amen? Real simple points here this morning. How many have ever known the right thing to do, but you're going to have to sacrifice to do it the right way? And you said, let's go party. I'll start changing next week. And we knew what we were supposed to do to pass the test, to get results that we've been looking for within our lives, but then the temptation comes, the invitation comes to go hang out. And you're placed between a rock and a hard place in making a decision to do the right thing or to do what's going to make you feel good for the moment. Remember, as you pass the test, God is able to use your problems to bring the best out of your life. He's able to bring his comfort. He's able to bring salvation, Scripture tells us this morning. But when we fail the test, the enemy steps in and brings out the worst of us. When we had the opportunity to bring the best out of us, something that we know is in our lives, we know it's good inside, we know what we got to do, but saying it and being about it is two different things. And we're all faced with this every day of our life. All of us are faced with this. Is today the day? Is today the day I'm going to get it right? Is today the day I'm going to start? Not. Though inside you're wanting this change, you're wanting to pass the test. You're wanting to prove maybe to this person or that person that loves you that you got it, that you ain't a failure. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, we find the purpose. We find the purpose of what our problems is able to produce out of our lives. And Paul says, we think you ought to know, he says, we, because young Timothy's with him. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond the ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die, but as a result, okay, this is when you go through problems and you do things the right way. This is what the Lord is wanting to do in each and every one of our lives that are present here this day, in each and every one of our lives that are viewing through Facebook here this day. We're all faced every day as we arise and we wake up to make the right decisions or the wrong decisions. We're all faced with it every day. To do real good, más o menos, that's more or less, or just say skip it. I'm starting on another date. And Paul goes on to say that the problems him and Timothy had were to the point of death, but the purpose that was brought out of their lives, remember, when we pass the test and we do what is right, God's able to bring his best out of our lives. I want to do my best unto the Lord. I want him to fulfill everything that he has placed in my life, not only to bring me comfort, a keeping salvation, but that I may be able to be a transmitter of comfort, a transmitter of salvation unto others. And Paul goes on to say, in fact, we expected to die, but as a result of the problems they were facing for doing the right thing, responding the right way, as a result of it, their problems to the point of death allowed them to stop relying on themselves. How many like doing things your way? Whether it's a good day you're having or a bad day, the Lord is speaking here this morning. We're just setting our ways to do it our way. If it works, it works. If it don't work, it don't work. This is my life. I can do it any way I want to. Bobby Brown would say, it's my prerogative. I do what I want to do. Is he dead or crippled or something like that? I think he's hooked on drugs or something. Hooked on crack, I think. Wasn't that Whitney Houston's old man? He turned her out on crack. She's dead. The woman with the billion-dollar voice, dead. Because they were bumping, smoking crack, too. It's my prerogative. And he had his big balloon pants, and he was doing all that stuff. See, you younger people don't know about Bobby Brown. You got to YouTube him. Look him up after the service. Amen? But he had it going on. He was famous, worldwide famous. And he wrote that song. It was a hit. And then they took a hit. They were rolling. The Bible goes on to say, in fact, we expect to die, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God, who raises the dead. He's raised my life over and over and over. And I don't forget sitting where you're sitting right now. I don't forget when the Lord would speak to me. And I had the decision to answer the call or hang up on the Lord, or even block him from calling me because he was trying to ruin my high, step in on my party. Some of you are blocking Jesus that is wanting to bring a comfort and a salvation into your life, to bring a comfort and a salvation through your life and helping other people that are being lied to by the devil's lies. So Paul walked away with an experience of doing the right thing, where he got so bad in his obedience unto the Lord that he stopped relying on himself and he started relying on God. Not just for that day, that season, but the Bible says, relying on God on everything. The purpose of our personal tests that we go through is to stop relying on ourselves. How much more time will you spend trying to figure it out on your own? I did it. Mom and Dad were crazy what they were telling me. They were old-fashioned. They didn't understand my place in life as I was in the house young. Now I'm the dad. And some don't understand what I'm wanting from their lives. Time has passed. Time has moved forward. I'm no longer 15, 16, 20 years old. I'm 58 years old. And by God, by the grace and mercy of God, he comforted all my troubles. Amen. He brought a great salvation to my life. It was such a great salvation. I wanted it for everybody. I want everybody to have it. Because it's real. 23 years real in my life and still growing. How is it growing? Through problems. My life continues to grow by the problems that are presented to me, by the problems that arise within my life, because the Lord is always trying to make more room within my life to give me revelation, to speak, to be in season when I speak. For everybody here this day, got another point that came from that counseling session. How many love when there's no problems? Huh? Raise your hand. You all shouldn't have raised your hands. That was the wrong answer. Now I'm going to tell you why. A problem-free, let's just say you get your way. Amen? Somebody raised their hand for the first time and they were wrong. I'll never raise my hand again. A problem-free life, if you were to pull off a problem-free life, amen? A problem-free life will not need God or change to where we continue to rely on self. So stop praying for a problem-free life. Tomorrow morning, wake up, say, Lord, I want some fresh problems. I need some fresh comfort. I need my salvation to be stirred a little bit. That person ain't listening to me. Give me some fresh problems. Give me some fresh power. Raise me from the dead again. I have a question. How many got problems here this day? Raise your hands. Now all of a sudden you want to have the right answer. Right answer. We all have problems. And I put here, that's a perfect opportunity to rely and trust in God. Your problems right now have a way of drawing you to Christ, to allow him to comfort you, to allow him to save you. Not because how many have ever been saved by a woman or a guy? Oh, pastor, she was so fine. So fine. How fine was she? She was so fine that, man, I got saved through her. God used her. God used him. He was so handsome. There's only one that is able to give salvation. It's not him or her. It's him. It's Jesus Christ. I believe if salvation came to a handsome man or a beautiful woman, none of us would be here this day. We would be living a perfect life. We wouldn't need comfort. We would be the comforter. It's one of the attributes of the Holy Spirit. He is the comforter. But too many times, because we got Jesus blocked off, he can't comfort us. I got another point. I know that most of the time, God's test feels like it's straight from the devil. I mean, you're going through some stuff. And the stuff is so real that you're saying, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And it's not Satan. It's God putting you in a test. God will never test you to fail you. He will always test you to promote you, because you have the answers right now within you to do the right thing and to get the right results in relying on God for your salvation and the salvation of others. How many have been in some tests where you felt like Paul to the brink of death, wanting to give up? Paul says right there on the verse you're looking, in fact, we expected to die, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. I'm trying to bring the focus here this day to Jesus, because he's able. He backs up his word. He backs up his promises. Some of you got to unblock Jesus from your phone. You got to unblock Jesus from your heart. You got to unblock Jesus by the way you think. I know that most of the time God's tests feel like it's straight from the devil's story. I've told it about 10 times in the last 19 years out here. And if you know the story, don't give the answer. Start whispering to your neighbor. Oh, yes. So you can give the answer like you're getting smarter already, halfway in the message. Amen? There was a big congregation. It wasn't ours, because ours ain't big yet. In number, but in spirit and truth, we're powerful here this day. We're a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And I told Pastor Fred, I told Lisa that the church's going to start packing out once it gets cold, because there's nowhere to go out there. Well, I guess we'll go to church. I ain't doing nothing. You doing anything? I ain't doing nothing. It's cold outside. Let's go to church. God will use that problem and turn it into a good problem. He'll use that. He says, I'll take that. You had nothing else better to do? I'll take that. There was a big congregation. They had a powerful service. People were broken at the altar, what every pastor prays for and desires. And then all the service was over, and all the cars are leaving in this big parking lot, and they're all leaving. And the pastor's walking around all proud, all happy. One day I'm going to be that proud, happy pastor. But for now, I'm going to let the problems get me there. To rely on God, that he's got the big parking lot taken care of already, packed out with people coming to hear God's word and placing it as important in their lives. And all the cars are leaving air, down to the last one finally left. It's just the pastor in an empty parking lot now. And on the curb by the sidewalk, there on the curb by the street, there was a man, you know, he was, you know, oh, bummed out. He had problems. Give me a picture. Picture. He was like that. He was crying. He was crying and crying. See, that picture to me represents a problem, a person with problems. It represents the need. Amen? Those hands that want to help represent the church that can't quite reach that man. For whatever reason, quite can't make contact to comfort that person. They're close, but yet so he remains in his problems. He remains in his problems. That's the picture of the church right there. Problems And the hands are the hands of the people of the church that for whatever reason, that what's still in their lives is not allowed to make contact and bear fruit in somebody else's life. And that's why problems are good. Problems are able to take us to rely on God. That one day our hands can reach that man, that woman with problems and bring a transformation within their lives. For they don't have to stay in that condition. But I believe the hands of the church are too short. And Jesus says through his word that the hands of the Lord are not too short, that he can't reach you right there where you're at. That's scripture. Right there where you're at on Facebook. The hands of the Lord is able to go in your liver, and he's touching you right now, and he's confirming the words that I'm speaking at right now, whether you're in Texas, California, or wherever you may be here in this broadcast. The hands of the Lord ain't got the problem of the hands of the church. He's able to touch you right there where you're at, no matter what you're going through. He wants to back up that he's able to comfort you in all areas. He wants to let you know that he's able to comfort you in all the problems you got right now. That he's able to bring a salvation like none other. And here this person's crying and crying and crying on the curb. And the pastor walks up to him. And the pastor walks up to him and he got his back to him. He says, young man, what seems to be the problem? And when he turns around, it's Satan. It's Satan. Satanas. El Diablo. El Cucuy. And the pastor's tripping because why would the devil be crying? You would think he's out there partying, smiling. He probably is, but this is my story and I'm telling it like I want to. So he turns around, the pastor says, oh. And so the pastor, you know, says, why are you crying? And he says, all those people in your church were at the altar blaming me for this and for that and for this and for that. And I wasn't even there. I had nothing to do with their problems. Too many times we blame Satan and we give him all this credit. Man, why are you doing this stuff, man? The lying devil, man, that lying devil. And we give Satan all these props on something that you're going through could be straight from the Lord. To bring a change within your life, to rely on Jesus, to trust in him in everything that you do, not just on Sunday. So the enemy told the pastor, all your people are blaming me for all the stuff they do, and I got nothing to do with that. Let's remember the purpose of our test that we go through is to rely on God. So when that's able to take place, when we're able to put our trust and rely in God, then and only then can we focus on bringing salvation and comfort to others. See, we got to get past ourselves to be able to connect with people. Because a lot of times we remain the problem and not the hand, the helping hand. Amen? A lot of times we remain the problem, and not because your pastor's all messed up, and not because you don't have the answers, it's just that you choose not to apply them. And you choose to fail the tests that God has given you to promote you. The problems that God has given you to wake you up, to promote you, and to fulfill the desires of your heart, the dreams you got, what you want to do in life, and how you want to help others. And you remain that person. You remain that person, not being able to see past self. Relying on a church service once in a while with a church that at times can't reach you with where you're at. That picture demonstrates to me also putting your trust in man and woman. And that's why it's very important to have a personal relationship with the Lord. Because his hand is not too short. You know that scripture, you do give it to, send it, text it to Connie or whoever, the media, whoever, put that scripture. We can't stay the problem. Time is short right now. Time is short. When you got it, just put it up when you have it. We can't stay the problem because there's an answer. It says, listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you. Another translation says, not too short. NIV says it. No. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. There you go, Connie. That's what I'm talking about. She didn't know nothing back there before. Now she about something. Ex-prostitute off the streets. A big old smile on her face right now because God has transformed her life. She's okay with me calling her an ex-prostitute because the ex-prostitute problems in her life have saved her, have comforted her, where she's able to comfort others now because of the problems that come along with being an ex-prostitute. What's your problem today? What's your problem today? It's your springboard. It's your diving board to spring you forward, to catapult you forward. What's your problem about today? Because God wants to use it to send you forth, and the enemy wants to use it to keep it where you're at. Back to the picture. Back to the picture, please. Don't mess it up, Connie. I just gave you. My God. You don't want to end up like that guy right there again. Ask me, how messed up was Connie? I'll tell you. Connie was so messed up that she said on Holly Road here, when you get on the freeway, right when you get, you can go, you get on the freeway, that she was literally stuck in a mud puddle. Figure it out. Just figure it out. Amen? Remember, we were Christians, the pastor, man, right there in that corner, man. I was in the mud, man. I was in the mud. Stuck in a mud puddle. She was living the life of a pig. God's grace and mercy is here right now. And he wants to comfort those that want to be comforted. He wants to change those that are willing to say, you know what, today's my day to be changed. You know what, today that's it, man. I'm tired of having the right answers and still failing the test of life. I'm tired. I want to be successful. In verse 6, the Bible reads, even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. See, what I go through every day, I do my best to pass the test because I know it's your comfort and it's your salvation. Amen. The sister that called me the other day with all her problems, I was able to comfort her. And I said, all your problems is going to be a Sunday morning message of hope and faith and salvation. Even when we were weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, when we ourselves are comforted, Paul speaking, we will surely comfort you. So we got to stay comforted in the Lord, leaders. Amen. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. Us passing the test of many troubles is not only to comfort others, but it's able to bring salvation to others. What Paul and Timothy were saying is, if we make it, if God sees us through, you too can make it. So I testify as Paul and young Timothy here this day, if I can make it an ex-heroin addict many years in prison, from the mafia to being a dope fiend in the street corner eating out of trash cans, OD'd 15 times, if I can make it, you can make it. If Connie the ex-prostitute can make it, you can make it. And Paul was saying, you can make it. You and you, you can make it. You in the back, you can make it. You can make it. What's your problem? Too many searching for a problem-free life. Work hard to have no problems. So here Paul was saying, and Timothy passed the test. You guys are going to pass the test. We get comforted, you get comforted. We have salvation, you're going to get salvation. He goes on to tell him, you too can patiently endure the same things we suffer. Wow, that's a big hit. How many would love to be able to take on a big hit? A big hit. We all want a big hit in the world. People pop their lungs for that big hit. Man, that was a big hit. And we try to compete who throws more smoke, who throws less smoke. How good the hit was. Paul was telling people that he's going to comfort you just like he did me. He was saying, you want to be like me? You want to follow me? You're going to get some big hits from Jesus. No longer big hits from the big hits from Jesus. Big tests from Jesus. How many want a big hit in Jesus? Back in my smoking days, we called it a booyah. Got to get my booyah. Nowadays, they call it all this weird stuff. Amen? Let's call it a dove, a double-up dove. Some of you are thinking of the names that you call it right now. I'm good at what I do. And some of you are saying, well, today, but I can't see. The mic ain't mine yet. You too can patiently endure the same things we suffer, Paul told them. You too can do the same thing. In other words, he was saying, you're not only going to be able to take the hit, but you're going to also be able to do what we do. You're also going to be able to do what we do. Your hand's no longer going to be too short. Your vision now is going to be what? The results of your problems is going to be in trusting in God and everything. Because you want God to use your life. You don't want to play church. You want the hand to reach. You want the hand to connect. You want it to be God's hand. He was also saying you're not only going to be able to take those hits, but you're going to be used. God's power is going to operate through your life. It's operating through my life. Right now as I speak, I'm under the anointing right now. I'm high right now. I got loaded this morning. Got real nice and loaded. So when I gave the word, prayfully some of you would get high on the Most High, Jesus Christ, and say, man, I want what Pastor be smoking. I want one of them hits Pastor be taking in Jesus. What did he call it? A booyah? Point. This is a heavy point here, man. It was in the counseling session that day. There's things you will never be able to experience by failing the test. Christ has allowed me to experience things that I would have never been able to experience. Picture if I would have stayed the problem. I've been able to experience now for 23 years the power of God working through my life, through problems, through crisis, through disobedient people have empowered my life. been able to experience things that I never would have been able to experience. Stuck in the comfort ways of the world. Some of you got to switch connection. See, your problem is the connection. He is the connection. The Bible says He is the source of our comfort, of our salvation. There's things you will never be able to experience by failing the test of what God wants to do in your life. You're going to miss out on it. Because you're still going to the world to find it as your source of comfort. You're still going to the things of the world, whether it's through addiction, the opposite sex, through what you watch on TV. Because the world has a lot of things to make you feel good as you're partaking of it. Whether you're taking a hit, a drink, whether you're working extra hard, whatever it may be, driving a nice ride, it'll allow you to experience those things. But to end up in the same spot, the problem with many problems. If anybody laughs on my next point, I'll let you know what I'm going to do afterwards. Amen? Failing school. Ask yourself, how messed up were you in school, Pastor? Without smiling, no smiling. Darn Timothy's car, guys. He bring Timothy. It's okay. I was so messed up in school that I failed the second grade twice. You guys ain't supposed to. I'm gonna let you laugh. Go ahead and laugh. Get it out. Nobody gets problems today. I was so messed up in school. That's because my mom was a teacher. My dad was the principal. I was so messed up in school, I failed second grade twice. You should feel sorry for me. So what happened when I failed the second grade? They held me back to say second grade again. And then I failed second grade school in elementary school the second time. And what did they do? They held me back another year. Until I was able to get to the third grade. I was messed up early. See, drugs ain't the only thing that messes up a person's mind. I was so in love with animals that in the schools, in the country, I would be looking out the window at birds and squirrels and all kinds of stuff. Now, the teacher was the last thing I was listening to. How many are being held back because you keep failing in the same area? How many are being held back right now? And God can't allow you to go forward until you pass that test. And it's not like you don't have the answer for the test. It's just, when are you going to apply the answer to the test God's given you? Because some of you are saying, if I go a little bit further in Jesus, they're going to want this from me. They're going to want my life. That's right. He wants your life. But the enemy wants your life also. And he wants a little hit here. No, I don't want no more. Ooh, I'm stoned. I don't need no more. Ooh. But what do we keep doing? We take another hit, drink another beer, go with him, go with her. Watch this movie. First it was the Flintstones and Bugs Bunny. Those are my cartoons of my days. Amen. Then it turned into rated R, rated XXX. Then I was the rated XXX. Because that's the work of the enemy right there. And we all allowed him to do that within our lives for a certain length, a certain season within our lives. It wasn't just a little bit. And in doing so, the enemy owned my life. Even though the Lord had purchased my life, the enemy owned my life For many, many, many years, he owned my life. Because I continued to do more and more and more things in the work of darkness to allow him to own every bit of my life. To curse me, to put me in prison, to lose family, my mom and dad, to lose everything. But I was still breathing. Tell your neighbor, he was still breathing. And God, the mercy of the Father, came into my life while I was in prison, and he brought me a comfort that I had never experienced because I was clean and sober, all muscle-bound, working out for years in prison. And he brought me a comfort. He brought me a word, a salvation that changed my life at the worst time of my life, full with problems. He used the problems to bring me comfort, to bring me salvation unto my life. My worst day, he came to me. The love of the Father, the source of our comfort, came to me. And he comes to each and every one of us at different times within our lives. And he asks us, my child, are you ready this time to go to the third grade? Are you ready this time to apply my answer to stop being held back from advancing in the kingdom of God, from advancing the kingdom of God? Too many times you want to do what we want to do. Don't remain Bobby Brown. Point. Pastor Philippe preached Friday night, and the Lord gave me a point. And the point was, it's one thing to fail the test when you just don't have the answer. I failed the test because I didn't have the answer to the test. I didn't study, and that's why I failed school miserably. I wasn't studying. I wasn't applying myself. It wasn't that I was dumb. Amen? Paper said I was, but God says, you're not dumb. You're just not applying yourself to school. See, what you apply yourself to, you will learn. You will know whether it's something positive or negative. I said, it's one thing to fail when the test, you just don't, it's one thing to fail the test when you just don't have the answer, but it's another thing when you fail the test when you have the answer. When you have the answer. God's grace works. God's grace works at its best to comfort and bring salvation. At our worst of our many problems, if I have the worship team please make their way forward. I think it's a very pivotal message here this day. Where once again, Jesus is walking by. He said, are you ready? Are we going to do this another year? You want to be held back another year? That's your decision. But this year, I want to take you forward this year. What you've always been wanting in life for yourself and others, I want to do it this year. I want to do it this year. I want to do it this year. I want to show the world through your life. I want to show the city of Milwaukee through your life. That a person full of problems can be a recipient of the comfort of the Lord, a recipient of the great salvation of the Lord. And not when we're at the top of the mountain, but at our worst times. And the hand of the Lord right now, put that scripture back up, NIV, is stretching forth right now here this day. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. Nor is his ear too dull to hear. Back to the picture. As we stand here this day, how much longer, the question is, are you going to allow your life by your decisions to be held back? You have the answers. The gospel has been preached. The answers have kept me for 23 years. Still growing. If you messed up, let your mess up get you up. Let your mess up comfort you here this day. I know it sounds backwards, but it's biblical. Let your mess up comfort you here this day by the hand of the Lord. Let him, if you need to be showered of many problems of the grace and mercy of the Lord here this day, say, God, that's me, Lord. I'm done having the answers and still being at the same place in my life. When I know you have called so much more to operate in and through my life. I got to a place in my life where I gave my life to the Lord. And everything they asked me to do, I kept doing it. And you know what? It did take time away from me. And more time was taken away from me. And more time. But as more time was being taken away from me, amen, more of my life was being taken away. I said, they want everything. You see, once time and things are taken from you, it's only then where you can rely and trust in God. Too many times we got too much time on the clock and we're still wanting to do things our ways and God can't move. Even being God Almighty, he can't move because there's still too much of you in the way for him to do what he wants to do. Because if he was to do it in your current condition, you would be able to say, I did this. But if you allow yourself to go through the process, God wants to receive all the glory and honor here this day. That's all I've done all day is give him all glory, all honor as the source of our comfort and of our salvation. I'm going to open up the altars right now, whatever the song is. Son, whatever it is.
Here I am.
Tell the Lord, here I am. His ear is not too dull to hear what you want to tell him here this day. Unblock him this day. Unblock Jesus. We don't want to repeat. Let's stop this song. Let's stop it. Stop it. It's okay. Go to that worship song you did Friday night. Worship song of Friday night. It's okay. We're moving. It's okay. We're going to use that problem to go a little bit further right now. Amen. Just take your time. Whatever you got to do. As we come to the altar here this day. Yeah, that's the one. He has rescued our life. Of many problems. His hand is coming down right now. His hand is not too short to reach you right there where you're at. It's not too short. Along with salvation is coming right now. He wants to rescue you through your problems. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Pray through.